Good morning, everyone. As I look out, I see we do have visitors with us. And if you are visiting with us, it is our hope and our desire that each and every time you're in this area, that you choose to, again, come and assemble with us in our worship, in our service to God our Father. I am constantly amazed at the wisdom of God in His direction for us, and how if we simply just read His Word, how much insight and knowledge we can gain from what He tells us and how He tells us to live. When we are told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, about how when we come together, we stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, this lesson that I've prepared is an example of that, because just the other week as I was speaking with my brother Todd, after doing so in our conversation, I was encouraged and stimulated by our conversation to do the topic for this morning's lesson. The lesson this morning begins over in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. And in this text, we have a list of individuals who are going to hell. Revelations 21, verse 8. Revelation verse 20, chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And as I mentioned, this is a list of individuals who unfortunately are going to hell. And what I want us to focus on this morning is at the beginning of the list, the very first group of individuals that the Lord states are going to hell. And those are the cowards. When I think of someone who is a coward, I think of someone who is motivated and driven by fear. Fear of what is going to happen to them. Fear of what someone is going to say about them, or what someone is going to do about them. And because they are so afraid of what people will say or do to them, they are unable to see clearly. They are unable to see that a direction might be the right choice. It might be the moral direction and the correct direction that they are supposed to go. But they do not make that choice. They choose not to go that way, not to go down that path, even though it's the moral and the right way to go. The reason for that, again, is because they're afraid of what is going to happen to them. As you read about the first group, this first group of individuals that are going to hell, they are the cowards. Cowards do not have the courage to do what is right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Although this is a short verse, I believe that it describes a certain character attribute that we as Christians must have, one that will belong to a Christian, an attribute that every Christian must have. We as Christians must be brave. We must be strong. This is so that we can stand fast in the faith and as well live our life as Christians the way that the Lord tells us to and wants us to. If you haven't guessed by now, the topic for this morning's lesson is our study in the Scriptures concerning the importance of having the courage to be a Christian. And I said in our conversation I was having with Todd, the courage that he tells me about it takes for him to go and to do that. Now, so you turn over to John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43. John chapter 12, 42 to 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now these are individuals who actually believed that Jesus is the Christ, but they do not have the courage to openly confess that he is the Christ, to openly confess what they believe. Why is that? Because they are cowards. They are cowards and they are afraid of what people are going to think and say, what people may be planning to do to them. Again, these people believed in him, but they were unwilling to confess him. And why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid that they may have been put out of the synagogue. Their problem was at the very core of their character. The scriptures tell us that they loved the praise of men. They were more concerned about what people were going to say and think about them. And they wanted to hear good words, words of praise about them from other people. One word describes these people, and that is cowards. They were cowards. They do not have the courage to speak the truth, to confess the truth that they actually believe in. Jesus talks about confession. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. It's imperative that if we are going to be Christians, that we have the courage to stand up and say that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to have the courage to say it to anyone, at any time, any place. Confession is a major part of Christianity. Openly letting our light shine instead of hiding it underneath a bushel. But instead, we are to let that light shine so that the people around us know who we are, and what we believe. Jesus also goes on in Luke chapter 12, verse 9. Luke chapter 12, verse 9. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So here we have two possibilities. One is to openly confess Christ, and the other is to deny him. Again, I ask you, why would people deny Christ? And the simple truth is because they are cowards. They are afraid of what will happen to them if they did confess. Romans 10, verse 9 through 10. Romans 10, 9 through 10. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Here he talks twice about the importance of confession and how confession is directly connected to our salvation. If you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Just as hearing, believing, repenting, and baptism are all part of being saved. So is confession. Confession is part of the plan of salvation. He states this twice, one right after the other. My point I'm trying to get across is this, that confession is a key, integral part of being a Christian. We as Christians should hold our head high always. As well, we should also be willing to let people know what we believe. During the times of the New Testament, there were periods of great suffering. Sufferings that would immediately come upon you if you even uttered the fact that you were a Christian. I say you now to know of Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation 3, verse 8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. During this time, and times that will come after this, if you were going to become a Christian, it meant the possibility of you being put into prison. It meant the possibility of you being tortured. And then what the Romans would do is this. If you were a Christian, they would capture you. And then they would give you three chances to either worship their idols, deny Christ, or blaspheme in the name of Christ. If these Christians who they captured refused to do this, they would torture them. Sometimes they would torture their children and or their wives. And then they would torture the individual. The idea was being this. We will stop all this torturing. All you have to do is deny Christ. From the text that we just read, when he says that you have not denied my name, this is not something that is being said casually. This was a statement of their strength and their courage. To know that you're going to be tortured if you believe and you openly confess. And then knowing that, to still openly say it without shame and without regret and without fear, that is what courage looks like. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. This verse began with a statement telling them, do not fear. Again, the coward is the one who thinks, you're going to throw me in prison? Okay, I'll deny him. Don't throw me into prison. Don't hurt my children. Don't hurt my wife. I'll deny him. I'll say whatever you want to say. Just don't hurt us. But the Christians, the brave, the courageous, they went to prison. The Christians, they were tortured. The Christians died holding on to their faith. Whenever we read about these times in history, we read how the Romans loved to watch these prisoners being attacked by the animals in the Colosseum. Here they would bring these Christians. And what these Christians would do, rather than scream and cry and run, these courageous and brave and faithful Christians would gather together and pray and sing songs. And as they did this, those that were watching were shaken to their very core, because they have never seen anybody like this. Again, that is courage. Now, lucky for us, we do not live in Roman times. nobody's going to come through those doors and drag us off to prison because we openly confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We live in a free country, and I thank God for that each and every day. With that being said, we also need to realize that Christianity is not popular with a lot of people. There are people today who, if you stand up and say that I am a Christian, they will laugh at you. So let me ask you this. Which one is worse? Laughter or torture? I'm pretty sure that most of us here are mature enough that we can handle the laughter, the ridicule, being the butt of a joke. But does being laughed at and ridiculed hurt? Sure it does. Does feeling like you're alone for your faith hurt? Yeah, it does. But I want us to be encouraged to stand strong and to stand fast and to stand openly, to confess our faith, to confess what we believe, regardless of what they are going to say about us. Regardless of what they're going to do to us. Do not fear of what people are going to say to you or about you or do to you, control you to the point where you become a coward and deny Him, deny your faith. To where you are ashamed of who you are and what you believe. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Again, he says the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. Here we have God speaking to two prophets at the very beginning of their work. And what he is trying to tell them and encourage them is to not be afraid. More so, not to be afraid of their faces and how they appear. Have you ever seen someone so enraged that they have so much anger in their face that it's distorted? The wrath has caused their face to turn and you see it. You can tell just by the look on their face that they want to jump on you and start beating you. Have you ever had someone yell at you because you had the audacity to tell them the truth? We need to realize that there are people in this world who do not want to hear the truth. And if you're going to speak the truth, it's going to take courage. I ask now that you turn over to Amos chapter 7. In Amos chapter 7, we have a wonderful example of courage. In this text, we have Amaziah, the high priest of Bethel. Now, in the nation of Israel, the most powerful person was a king. The second most powerful person was the high priest. Here the high priest is speaking to the prophet Amos. And it starts in verse 12 and goes through 13. Again, we're in Amos chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and there do your prophesying. But no longer prophesy at Bethel, for it is a sanctuary of the king and a royal residence." Now I would say that that is a pretty strong rebuke coming from a pretty strong and powerful person. And I'm sure when Amaziah spoke these words, that when he issued his rebuke, he did so with a loud and a firm voice, a tone to make Amos afraid, to make him afraid so that he does flee to Judah and he no longer speaks in Israel. Pastor, you look at the next verse, verse 14. Then Amos replied to Amaziah, "I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, for I'm a herdsman and a grower of sycamore figs." Amaziah we have on one side telling him to do something. And then on the other side, we have the Lord telling him to do something. Which is Amos to do? What Amaziah says, or what the Lord says to do? Take a look now at verse 15. "But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people.'" Now, if we see the structure that has been set up, can we see the guts that it took for Amos to stand there and still do what he was told to do? Do we see the courage of this man? He's being told by the second most powerful man in the nation of Israel, "You leave. You go down to Judah and speak no more. You don't prophesy here anymore." And Amos tells him, "You're not going to tell me to shut up. You're not going to tell me to stop prophesying." And guess what? He tells him what the Lord has to say about him, about him. And he tells the high priest of Bethel exactly what the Lord has to say. And it's not good. And we need to realize that the prophets of old were amazingly brave and courageous individuals. Men who had the courage to go and tell those who were in sin the truth. And then to also have the knowledge that they were going to suffer for those consequences. Those consequences that would come upon them for simply speaking the truth and speaking what God told them to speak. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 10. Isaiah 30, 9 through 10. "For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'You must not see visions,' and to the prophets, 'You must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions.'" These people did not want the prophets to tell them the truth. They wanted the prophets to tell them pleasant words, nice words, to tell them lies. People in every nation, every culture, every walk of life want to be told that they are okay just the way they are. That everything is okay. That you can do whatever you like as long as it makes you happy, and that everyone is going to heaven. Everyone except the really, really bad people. It doesn't matter how you live, what you do, you're just fine the way you are. Jeremiah 6:14. "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace." Again, these people, they like to hear that. They like to be told, "Keep doing what you're doing, as long as it makes you happy. But my God, our God, the creator of all mankind, the creator of everything that we see, never, ever says that. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And when we look in the spiritual mirror of God, it will show us our weaknesses and our flaws. It will show us that we do need to change, that we cannot stay the same, that we need to repent. And if we're going to be the children of God, real, honest, and true Christians, we are going to have the courage to take the Word of God to people who are in darkness. And we must tell them the truth of where they really are in their lives. Galatians 4:16. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? There's going to be people in this world that when you tell them the truth about where they are in their sin, that they are not going to like you. Our culture right now is one where political correctness is running rapid. Political correctness is this: you better not tell me the truth. How dare you tell me the truth? How dare you tell me the truth about homosexuality? How dare you tell me the truth about abortion? How dare you tell me the truth about Christianity? How dare you tell me the truth about one body and about baptism? And how about it's really not just the really, really bad people who are going to hell? People think that if they scream at you with their words and their faces, with their pressure, that they can get you to shut up, to just be quiet and not speak the truth anymore. Because they want to be told lies and they want to be told pleasant words. To be told it's just an alternative lifestyle. To be told it's your body and your choice to do with whatever you want with the life that grows inside of your body. To be told that one church is as good as another. To be told that some lives are okay as long as they fall in a certain color category. To be told that God loves everyone and really wouldn't send good and nice people to hell. Those who are in darkness do not want to hear the truth. But yet do we still tell them anyways. You and I, children of the Most High, Most Powerful God, do we have the courage to stand strong in our faith and to tell them the truth? To tell them no matter what they may say, no matter what they may do, do not be afraid of their faces or their twisted and distorted anger. Do not be afraid of their screaming, the tone of their words. Do not be afraid to speak the truth regardless of what people think about you, say about you, or do to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Again, here we have him saying, do not be ashamed. Never be ashamed of Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he is coming back for us, his true children. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of what you believe about him. Never be ashamed about any of his teachings about morals and how to live. Do not be ashamed of the testimonials and the teachings of our Lord. The Apostle Paul and many other faithful Christians were thrown into prison and ultimately put to death for their belief. We are given full warning that if we're going to go this way, that if we're going to be Christians, there will be suffering and there will be ridicule. If we have the courage to speak the oracles of God to the people of this world, we are going to suffer at the hands of godless people. But let us as true believers have the courage to take the swings, to take the arrows, the pressure, bitterness, the laughter, and the ridicule. When these things come at us, let us stand firm and let our light shine. Let it shine in a world of darkness and sin. And let us speak openly the truth no matter how unpopular or how politically correct it may or may not be. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 5. For the time already past is sufficient, for you have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In all of this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. If we're going to be Christians, the real deal, the real McCoys, then we must have the courage to come about change. We can no longer go along with our buddies out to the drinking parties, the bars, to get involved with all the different kinds of sins that they're involved in. But one of the hardest things to deal with when we become a Christian, and when this change happens, as we transform into Christians, is knowing and understanding that our old pals that we used to go and sin with, that we used to hang out with, we cannot do that anymore. Because we know that we are not going that way. When I became a Christian, I remember hearing the words, "You're not fun anymore." And when I first started the job I'm at now, people looked at me funny when I said I don't drink. They would still say, "Come out and just have one," or "Come out and be your designated driver." And I think that when we all understand that we choose to go this way, that we cut rope, and we cut rope with a lot of people that we used to know. And that we know at times we experience loneliness, isolation, that we will be laughed at and made fun of. But we have to have the courage to travel down the narrow and the difficult way. Have the courage to be alone if we have to. The cool thing to do after work is to go out to the bars and have a few drinks. And after about 5 or 6 times, they stopped asking me to join them. So now I'm seen as the antisocial one, or the oddball. But God gives us armor. Armor to be able to stand firm, to take the arrows, to take the ridicule that the world throws at us. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 11. Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 11. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. If you've ever hurt because of the loneliness, because you refuse to follow the crowd, if you've ever shared a tear because of the laughter, if you ever had a relationship fall apart because you refuse to compromise your faith, those are times when it really hurts. But I think that is also the time when the Lord is most proud of his children, because they have the courage to do what is right, the courage to choose the right direction, regardless of whatever pain may come from it. And if we're going to be Christians, we cannot be cowards. We cannot be consumed with what people are going to say or think about us. We can go down this path where there will be pain, or we can go down the path where everyone will like me and everyone will be my friend. The easy path leads to hell. It is wide, and many go that way. The difficult way will take you being brave, courageous, to stand firm and immovable in your faith, not consumed with fear, but choosing the right way to go because God says it's the right way to go. Heaven and hell, like I said the last time I was up here, are very, very real. And the cold hard truth is not everyone is going to heaven. The truth also is that you will not find cowards in heaven. You cannot be a Christian without courage. It takes courage to come home. It takes courage to stand and admit that you have sinned. The Lord calls us to do just that. Do not be ashamed to be made new. Have the courage to come home to the Father, to have your sins washed away, and become a child of God. It is by hearing, believing, confessing, repenting, and being baptized that our sins are forgiven, and that we can become citizens of heaven. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you have the choice and the opportunity now to stand firm in your faith, to have the courage to come home to the Father. He stands and waits for everyone to come to him. Jesus came and he did his part for us. He paved the way. He made the way straight for us. It's up to us to choose to go that way. Those of us who have obeyed, we know that sometimes we fall short and that we sin. For we also know we have a relationship with God through Jesus to be able to go to him through prayer and ask and seek for forgiveness. So if you're in any need this morning, I ask that you come forward and together we stand and sing.